What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 167. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about opioid and sedative requirements in patients that use stimulants, answer the drug information question, how do you treat mannitol extravasation, and share a resource from the Institute for Safe Medication Practices on anticoagulation safety. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode167. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode recently appeared in a weekly literature digest for members of my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. Every week, I send Academy members a summary of the most important critical care pharmacy articles, including my analysis of where the article fits in practice. The literature summary is brief, relevant, and presented in audio and video format. You can find out more at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The article is titled Analgesia and Sedation Requirements in Mechanically Ventilated Trauma Patients with Acute Pre-Injury Use of Cocaine and/or Amphetamines. The lead author is Bridget Cram, and this was published in the March 2017 issue of Anesthesia and Analgesia. Many clinicians empirically increase the initial dose of opioids and sedatives for patients with positive urine drug screens. The authors of this study sought to determine whether ventilated trauma patients with a positive urine drug screen for cocaine and/or amphetamines have increased opioid and sedative requirements. The study was a single-center retrospective cohort of patients admitted to an adult level 1 trauma center. The primary endpoint was the daily morphine equivalent received during mechanical ventilation for patients with a positive urine drug screen for cocaine and/or amphetamines compared with patients with a negative urine drug screen. Secondary endpoints included the sedative dose, whether it was benzos, propofol, or dexmedetomidine, duration of mechanical ventilation, ICU and hospital length of stay, and in-hospital mortality. In univariate, multivariate, and propensity score adjusted analyses, pre-injury stimulant use was not associated with the opioid or sedative dose. The authors concluded, for trauma patients presenting with acute pre-injury use of cocaine and/or amphetamines, analgesic and sedative requirements are variables and may not be greater than those patients presenting with a stimulant negative urine drug screen to achieve desirable pain control and depth of sedation. Although this observation should be interpreted cautiously in light of the wide confidence interval observed in the propensity score adjusted model. Although unexpected, these findings indicate that empirically increasing analgesic and sedative doses based on positive urine drug screen results for these stimulants may not be necessary. This is a surprising finding to me since I have encountered many patients who have a history of stimulant use and appear to have unusually high opioid and sedative requirements in order to tolerate mechanical ventilation. Given the known adverse effects from oversedation, such as delirium, and the rapidly titratable effects of opioids and sedatives, it now makes sense to not increase the opioid or sedative doses for patients with stimulant-positive urine drug screens. The drug information question for this episode is, how do you treat mannitol extravasation? The answer is with hyaluronidase. If mannitol extravasation occurs, dilute 1 ml of 150 units per ml of hyaluronidase with 9 ml normal saline for a final concentration of 15 units per ml. Administer multiple small subcutaneous injections of this solution around the area of extravasation. The Institute for Safe Medication Practices has released a medication safety self-assessment for antithrombotic therapy. This assessment is a revision of the 2005 tool to include questions on the newer anticoagulants. The assessment consists of 115 questions, many of which represent system improvements and safeguards that ISMP has recommended in response to analysis of medication errors, problems identified during on-site consultations with hospitals, and guidelines in the medical literature. To complete the assessment, ISMP recommends each organization establish a multidisciplinary team, assess the use of antithrombotic agents through a consensus vote from all team members after thoroughly investigating the level of implementation for each self-assessment item, and document your progress toward improvement by reassessing your use of antithrombotic agents with this tool on a regular basis. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.